So for the sake of time, I'm just going to give a very quick little bit on whether we can trust the Bible by focusing in on the parts of the Bible that talk directly about Jesus, the Gospels. There are four of them in the Bible. They begin the New Testament parts of the Bible. And it's basically a biography of Jesus. There are four of them written by his followers, people who knew him. Other books in the New Testament, part of the Bible, have been written by people who knew people who knew Jesus, or who saw him resurrected from the dead, like Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. Now you may say, you know, can we really trust that those biographies of Jesus were written by people who knew him? Perhaps they were written by people hundreds of years later who really didn't know or who made things up. Well, we have manuscripts that go way back of these New Testament biographies of Jesus, the Gospels. And we know they were written sometime shortly after Jesus' actual life on earth and his death and resurrection. His death and resurrection happened around AD 29. And we know they were written sometime between then and AD 100. We have evidence that all the books that we know of as the Bible today were written by that point. They're all written in that first century by people who were either alive and who knew Jesus when he was alive, or since there's about a 70-year span there, they were written by people during the lifetime of those who did know Jesus here on earth. What that means is if you were going to make up a story about Jesus, just going to fabricate it out of thin air as a legend that kind of supported your movement and things you wanted to see happen, if you were just going to co-opt Jesus and make him say what you wanted him to say, you'd have a hard time doing that in that first 70-year span after his death and resurrection. There was either somebody alive who knew Jesus personally and could just blow your story out of the water, or there were people who knew those people who could do the same. You were within one generation of those who knew Jesus personally. There wasn't an opportunity for legend to creep in because there were those who could contradict it. And this was an oral society. It's very different from our society today where we rely on a lot of print media and the internet and things, and we have a whole different idea of how you corroborate a story and find out if it's true. But in an oral culture, stories were told, and we have a hard time trusting that, you know, people just telling stories because we're used to print. But in that day, print was very difficult to access. Very few people could read or write in the first place. Very few people could access papyrus or the parchment they needed to write on. And so people were used to having truth communicated to them orally, and they got very good at that. People were very good at repeating stories, practicing them, so they could repeat them exactly. Just like a photocopier is purpose-built to photocopy a story exactly as it's been transmitted to it. It's the same thing with humans in an oral culture. They were very good at passing on a story, not with their own embellishments, not with their own spin, their own legendary addition that, you know, made them look good, but rather passing on that story in a way that kept it true to its roots. Again, there were people around who knew the story. And if you went and added in the part about yourself, or the part that made you look really good, or in some way supported what you wanted to do in the world, somebody else knew that story word for word too, and would call you on it. So there was a whole society built up around oral culture and oral tradition that we're not really used to, and we have a hard time trusting, but that was very much a part of culture then. Well, eventually they did get written down, obviously. It wasn't a real priority of theirs. That's why it didn't happen in AD 30. The minute Jesus died, somebody didn't write it down. Because the way to spread a story was to tell it, not to write it. But thankfully, people did eventually, once they were usually much older and weren't able to travel to tell the story, they eventually sat down and wrote down some words as well. We have manuscripts that go a long way back to within three centuries of Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's amazing the consistency of them. Again, when people are copying things by hand, you'd expect some typos, right? And there are some. There are some errors and little differences between them, but it's amazing that, for example, with the Old Testament, we have less than 1% variation in the sources. So yes, there's a little typo here and there, but less than 1% have anything to do with Christian beliefs. There are things like word order, things like a letter missing here and there, where it's still obvious that the message was being transmitted. Little mistakes here and there. If somebody has told you there are major discrepancies in the Bible, they may be referring to that kind of thing, not to outright disagreements on doctrine. We're going to explore more of this in the course that follows, as I said. But for now, we're just going to take the Bible as it is, as it's been transmitted, and we're going to just look, what kind of a God is revealed there? What kind of a God speaks through the words of the Bible? We'll test it out and see if we can trust him. Now, one little side note I like to mention. In the Bible, God does reveal himself using male imagery that may throw you a little bit. Words like he, father, king, lord. This isn't meant to say that God is a male in the way that humans are male and female. God existed before gender. So God created things like maleness and femaleness. He wasn't bound by that in his own existence. So it's not a matter of what we know of males and females having been applied to God. Rather, it's that God wants to communicate something about himself that certainly in the culture that the Bible was written in was best communicated using those kinds of words. And so we continue to use them today because those are the words we find in the Bible, knowing, of course, that God is not a male in the way that I am a male. Rather, we are created with gender by God who created everything. God came before things like gender. Well, our question for you to consider today is about the Bible. We're asking, have you ever read some of the Christian Bible before? Did you trust it? Why or why not? What would you trust? We're also inviting you to start reading from the Bible. I really don't want you to take my word for anything, but I'd rather you read directly from the source, to read the Bible itself to understand what's in there and where the material comes from that we're teaching in this course. We're not making it up as we go. It comes from a very ancient source. So we're inviting you to start reading the Bible, to read from what's called the Book of John. It was one of the biographies of Jesus, written by a close friend of his, to read the first two chapters. Now, maybe you've never read from the Bible before and have no idea what a book or chapter means. Well, that's okay, because you don't even need a Bible to do this. You can do it online. Click on the study guide, and you'll find a link to an online Bible directly to the chapters you need to read for today. As you do read that, we're just asking you to consider one simple question. Write down what you've learned about Jesus.